Hi, friend. Thanks so much for downloading this broadcast of In the Market with Janet Parshall. And it is my heartfelt hope that you will find something that will encourage, equip, edify, and get you out into the marketplace of ideas. But before you start to listen, let me just take a few moments of your time to tell you about this month's truth tool. It's called Body of Proof, the 7 best reasons to believe in the resurrection of Jesus and why it matters today. You know, it's Easter in the month of March, and it's a wonderful opportunity to tell people that it's a whole lot more than bunny rabbits and Easter baskets, that in fact, death has been conquered, that the grave can no longer declare victory, and the sting of death has been forever removed because of what Christ did for us. It is the most significant event in the Christian faith, and yet at the same time, it's often the most misunderstood. So we need to be able to offer the reasons, both archaeologically and historically, and scripturally, for the authenticity of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. You and I are called to contend, and Easter and Christmas afford us wonderful opportunities to engage the culture to do just that in a winsome way. We are a listener-supported radio program, and we depend on the prayers and the financial gifts of people just like you. So if you'd like a copy of Body of Proof, a perfect book for the Easter season, just call 877-JANET-58, that's 877-JANET-58, or go online to inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. Scroll to the bottom of the page. There's the cover of the book. Click on through with your donation. Body of Proof, 877-JANET-58, 877-JANET-58, or inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. Scroll to the bottom of the page. Click on through, and there's the book. If you want to be a partial partner, that's someone who gives every single month at a level of your own choosing, you can do that on the website as well. You'll also get a copy every month of the truth tool that we offer. So inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org or 877-JANET-58. Thanks so much for allowing me to take a couple of moments of your time. And now please enjoy the broadcast. Friends, this is Janet Parshall. Thanks so much for choosing to spend the next hour with us. Today's program is pre-recorded, so our phone lines are not open. But thanks so much for being with us and enjoy the broadcast.
Congratulations, Chris. It's a boy.
He weighs in at 81 pounds.
What?
Sorry. 8 pounds one.
Would you like to hold your son?
Yes, please.
Here you go.
Smile.
Honey, let's put that straight on Facebook.
Goodbye.
Wait, where's the manual? I don't know how to...
Oh. At first he didn't know what he was supposed to do.
Most of it was crying and then changing you.
It took a while to get there, but now as he grows,
I'm learning how to parent as I go.
Parenting is such a lovely thing.
Celebrate the super change you make.
Parenting is such a lovely thing.
Celebrate the super change you make. The super change you make.
Oh, guess what we're talking about this hour? That was a big fat clue. Parenting, the art of parenting. Hello, friends. Welcome to In the Market with Janet Parshall. Parenting is such a lovely thing. Okay, so let me guess. You have 3 kids pulling at your pant leg right now. It's not dinner time. You don't want to have a bunch of juice boxes swallowed before dinner. You want them to get some space in their little tummies for veggies. They're tired. They're worn out. They're crabby. And all together now, let's sing Parenting. Parenting is on the job training, and it's tough. And yet, it's the most high calling some of us will ever get. And it is an important task. It is that amazing task. God puts these treasures in our life and then says, now train them in the nurture and the admonition of me. Tough stuff. But I praise God that he raises up wonderful teachers like Dennis and Barbara Rainey. We know who Dennis and Barbara are, don't we? They're the founders of Family Life, a crew ministry, or the ministry formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ. Yes, and no, it goes through my head every time. The artist formerly known as Prince, pretty soon we won't even have to say formerly known as. It'll just be crew and we'll all get that. Dennis hosts, of course, Family Life Today. And Barbara created Ever Thine Home. Have you seen these things? Fabulous. They're decorative products that we can put around our home that really let people know that Jesus is Lord in this particular house. Fabulous stuff. Well, they host Weekend to Remember conferences all around the world. And together, the two of them have written more than 50 50 books, including the best-selling Moments Together for Couples. And now they bring us their latest book called The Art of Parenting. And eventually I will open the phone lines, but boy, I got a lot of questions I want to ask first. Dennis and Barbara, the warmest of welcomes. Thank you for the gift of your time today.
It's great to be here.
Thank you, Janet. It's great to be on your show.
Did you write that song, Janet?
But isn't it perfect? Oh, my word.
It really is.
Core.
I was going, that's an interesting start to the program. That's pretty cool. Way to go, Janet.
I thank you, Dennis. That was amazing. Well, I have to ask, and I was thinking about this all day long, because you get married, you fall in love, and as God chose in your life, he brought you the blessing of kids. And when that first baby came, I mean, and I love open, honest, transparent conversation. We're talking to folks all over the country, just like you do, Dennis, on a regular basis. And a lot of people think, because we sit in front of a microphone, we got it all together. It's all perfect. It's absolutely unblemished. And so I want to hear from you. When that baby was put in your arms and you started the role of parenting, I'd love to hear from both of you. What was your biggest surprise? What was your biggest challenge?
Well, I think I'll start. I think our biggest surprise was how much time one little tiny thing person took. It was a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job that I didn't realize it was going to take that much time. So I was very surprised by how all-consuming one little tiny person could be.
Yeah. And I, on the other hand, nearly passed out while Barbara was giving birth.
He did. That's not just a lie.
That's not a spoof. I really did, Janet. I'm sorry. But when they placed my daughter in my arms, I have to tell you, I really did have this desire, Janet. I wanted to roll her over and find the instructions.
Yes, yes.
Are they on the backside? How do you do this thing called parenting? I don't think anybody is truly prepared to be parents. In fact, it's interesting. George Barna did a little research. He indicated that 8 out of 10 today feel like this generation that's raising parents, millennials, feel like it's much more difficult to raise a child today than it was for their parents.
Mm. Wow. Are you surprised by that?
I'm not surprised by that, because I think every generation faces new circumstances, new situations, and new pressures for their kids that the previous generation didn't. So I think every generation has it harder than the previous generation does. And I just think that's a part of life, because life is changing. It's constantly evolving. And so what parents are facing in this generation is different than what we faced in ours, and ours was different than our parents, and so on and so forth. So that doesn't really surprise me.
And I'm looking at our grandkids. We got a few of them, and I'm looking at the issues they're facing, Janet. There's no question. The issues being thrown at them in elementary school, junior high school, long before they get to adulthood, because they're not adults when they're in the teen years. They're still growing up and developing the whatever the portion of the brain is that helps them become a man or a woman. But I think it's a challenging day to be a parent as never before.
Yeah, I heartily concur. Dennis, let me pick up on what you said. And Barbara, I think you're wise. Every generation, I think, is more difficult than the preceding generation. So when you talk about some of the challenges, Dennis, what went through my mind when you said that immediately was the directive for us to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord has always been there. That's not an opt-in, opt-out clause for parents who love the Lord. That is a directive on how we're supposed to take care of our kids. But I'm thinking in this post-truth age in which we live, we almost have to teach them sooner and more intensely on some of these spiritual issues, because the challenges are challenges we've never had to face before. I mean, my word, having to talk to an elementary school child about transgenderism is not a discussion right. I'd ever want to have, let alone have it with a six-year-old.
Yeah, Romans 16, verse 19 says, but I want you, Paul was speaking to his spiritual children. He says, I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. I think that's a parent's assignment. Help them to have wisdom about the good and to be innocent of experiencing evil. That's a challenge in this culture.
Boy, well said. And what a way to start our conversation. Dennis and Barbara Rennie have graciously agreed to spend the entire hour with us and to encourage us, by the way. I love it when parents can get a timeout and sort of encourage one another on what it means to be a parent and how we can do it in a way that honors the Lord, which should be our goal after all. So their newest book is called The Art of Parenting. We're going to talk more about it right after this.
Celebrate the change.
Celebrate the
super change.
Celebrate
the super change you make.
The resurrection of Jesus is the most important fact of the Christian faith, and yet it's the most misunderstood. Why is that? That's why I've chosen Body of Proof as this month's truth tool. Learn as followers of Jesus how to confidently share the reasons that Christ rose from the dead while understanding the power of Christ in you. Ask for your copy of Body of Proof when you give a gift of any amount to In the Market. Call 877-JANET-58, that's 877-JANET-58, or go to inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org. Well, there is the biblical directive, but nobody ever said that that would be easy. So I'm very grateful that we have wonderful teachers among us like Dennis and Barbara Rainey, who are the founders of Family Life. And Dennis hosts, as we all know, Family Life Radio. We love it. Family Life Today, such good teachers. And I love the way that Dennis and Barbara will host conferences around the world for couples and teach them how to look well to the ways of their household. And it follows suit, does it not, that of the many, many books that they've written, that they would do one on parenting, the art of parenting. You start the book out in a very important way, and that is, we are all fallen, fractured, earthen vessels. And that was God's plan from the beginning. There are no perfect parents. That takes a whole boatload of weight off of my shoulders, and I'm sure it does for a couple of other people listening as well. But you start out by talking about God parenting us. That, I think, is, oh, I wish I would have known this when my babies were first as a part of our nest. Because if I had had that perspective, I think it would have changed the trajectory of what I felt my responsibility was and what my approach was to parenting. So share some of your thoughts about that, because it's comforting and liberating at the same time.
Well, I agree, Janet, and I think one of the understandings that I finally came to, and we share this in the very beginning of the book for that reason that you just said, that is that God, as a perfect father, never had perfect children. And when I realized that in the process of raising our kids, a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders, because I think somehow I thought I was supposed to raise perfect kids, or at least kids who didn't mess up very often, because after all, that's what I was supposed to do as a Christian mom. But when I realized that it was impossible for me to raise that kind of kid, that God, the perfect God and Father in heaven, his children rebelled, it just made me relax and go, okay, they've got to learn to trust God on their own. And I can trust God with their hearts, because he knows how to bring his children back to him, and therefore he can bring my children back as well when they wander. So I think it's important for parents to understand that you'll not do it perfectly. You'll make all kinds of mistakes, but God can be in the middle of all of that.
Yeah. And Janet, it was the question you asked that drove me to the scriptures in attempting to answer it and say, what does God expect of us as parents? And I spent the better part of a year interviewing some of the finest Bible scholars, some of the finest mentors, coaches, counselors, pastors, men and women from all different disciplines. And we came up, Barbara and I came up with four categories that we have built this book around, but this is how we tried to raise our kids. We felt like God deals with us in four areas. First of all, in relationships. What's the great commandment? Love God, love others. Secondly, he deals with us in the area of character, helping us to be wise and not a fool, to choose right and not wrong. That's the book of Proverbs. Third, our identity. That's both spiritual identity and sexual identity. And keep in mind, we developed this material 28 years ago and began to field test it. And when we first started this out on the issue of identity, sexual identity was not near the issue that it is today, but it's front and center today.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final one is mission. Every child needs direction and purpose and needs to realize he was put here by God to accomplish something really, really great for his kingdom. If parents can take those four things and hold those up as kind of the reading, writing, and arithmetic of raising children today, I think they'll be better off in the long haul.
Dennis, can I linger on that point? Because, again, that reorientates, I think, the thinking for parents in that I think so often we think ours is about it's a world of practicums. And, yes, there's clearly a component of that. I mean, we want to potty train our kids. We want them to read and write. We want them to teach them how to behave in public and how not to tell lies and how to respect their siblings should the Lord give us more than one child. All of those things. But I think so often that becomes the primary focus of what we think our responsibility of parenting is. It's, if I can put it this way, it's all about behavior modification rather than these four really transcendent issues that you've talked about. It seems to me that if we put those four issues in front of us, A, we keep the main thing the main thing, so the mission is more clearly articulated, and there's a place for grace, and I'm not going to turn the minors in the major as long as I'm moving toward one of those four pillars.
I love what you just said.
Yeah, well said.
It's really well said. I think we all gravitate to all the minutiae. Mm-hmm. And all the disciplines of getting our children so that they're perfect from under the people, which they're not perfect. Our family has one opportunity a year to be perfect. That's the Christmas card.
That's exactly right.
If you take enough pictures, if you take enough pictures,
family.
Every eye will be open. Every smile will have teeth that's showing and pleasant looks. But we had one child, we could take 70, 80, 90 pictures. He had the goofiest face. He always messed up our pictures. And it's only at Christmas time that we ever send a picture of the perfect family. All of our families, every family is broken and is in need of a Savior.
Yes.
That's the message. Children, and I want our listeners to hear this. Children are redemptive.
Mm-hmm.
They convince us we can't do it on our own, that we as parents, first of all, need a Savior so that we then can introduce our children to that Savior as well.
Yeah. Wow. So again, in the spirit of transparency, I want to go back to what you said about perfect kids, because maybe people outside the church, those who don't yet know the Lord as their personal Savior, struggle in this area. But I sense that in the church in particular, we have this idea that perfection is a mandate for Christian families. Now, the music is playing, and I don't want to rush through that answer, but Dennis and Barbara, I'd love for you to address that when we come back, that maybe, as my mama used to say, get off your back, not my back, but get off your back a little bit. Take a deep breath and understand that perfection is not the goal here. I'd love for you to address that. And then I'm going open the phone lines, because I know you'd love to talk to Dennis and Barbara. Their book is called The Art of Parenting. I've got a link to Family Life Today. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm already encouraged. And my kids are grown, but as Barbara and Dennis tell us in the book, The Art of Parenting, that doesn't mean my job as a parent is over by any stretch of the imagination. So much more after this.
Have you ever thought there wouldn't be no Santa Claus? Or look what the storm just brought. Thank God for kids. And we'd all live in a quiet house without Big Bird or a Mickey Mouse. Kool-Aid on the couch. Thank God for kids.
Well, that's the Oak Ridge Boys reminding us what a joy it is to be a parent. But it's a high calling, and the Lord has a lot to say in his instruction manual to us about parenting. And I'm so glad that Dennis and Barbara Rainey reinforce what God's Word says in their book, The Art of Parenting. Dennis, of course, hosting Family Life Today, heard all across the country, and Dennis and Barbara speaking around the world at their Weekend to Remember conferences. Dennis, let me pick up on something I said just before the break, because again, I think I remember Chuck Swindoll writing his book about the problem with transparency, particularly talking about the church. And so this idea of perfection is not only this, it's a Sisyphus and Hades kind of an approach. No matter what you do, you're never going to strive it. So it's an exercise in frustration, futility, and failure. But we have this idea, I think, much more in the church than we do outside, because somehow if we've been made perfect in Christ, therefore we should have absolute perfection around the kitchen table. Can you talk to me about that?
Could I tell a story that probably is going to offend some of your listeners?
Yeah.
I'm sure you've never done that, Janet.
Never, never.
Never done that. I was with a very good friend this past weekend, and he just confessed to me. He said, you know, I had four children, and each of them wanted to get a tattoo. They wanted to get a tat. And I told them at the point they wanted to get one that I would go with them, and I would get one too.
So it had to be something that he would be willing to get.
Exactly. Exactly. And he said there was something about that, that three of the four never took me up on it. They came, but we ran out of time, and I got distracted onto other things. But the youngest came to him, and he said, I've got a tat here on my calf of my leg. And I said, could I see it? And he said, yeah. And he pulls back his pant leg, and there is B, as in boy, over
like a fraction.
P, over P, like a fraction.
Mm.
And I said, yeah? He said, both of us have this B over P tat that we got together. And I said, what's it mean? He said, I want our children to know that bravery was to be preferred over perfection.
Mm.
You know, I know some of your listeners are offended that I've used an illustration like that. But here's the thing. That's the call for this generation. Bravery to confront issues in love with compassion and caring, and to intersect with people who are different than them, who believe different than we do. Those are all great things to teach our kids. But if we're waiting to train them to be perfect before they do in those things, it's not going to happen.
Not going to happen. No. And by the way, Dennis, let me just pick up on what you said about the idea that that might be offensive because you used the example of the tattoo. This goes to another point that you and Barbara make in the book, which is there is no one-size-fits-all formula for parenting. And I think one of the challenges we have is not to have this idea that we should be majoring in the minors. You know, here it turns out that there is a profound life lesson in that tattoo. Parent may disagree with the idea of inking your skin, but if there's a message that he'll carry the rest of his life, and it was a father and son experience shared together, maybe for that family, for that parent-child relationship, it was exactly what needed to be done to help him take his next step forward as a young man walking closer to the Lord. Am I right or wrong on that?
You're right. I mean, and here's the thing. These little lessons show up in all kinds of places.
Mm-hmm.
At the start of the broadcast, we talked about how we had distilled down what the Bible teaches are the responsibilities of a parent into relationships, into character, identity, and mission. Relationships are where we start, because we got to train our children in knowing how to love each other, and then they learn how to love God, because their hearts are rebellious toward God. Mm-hmm. And we got to teach them what to do with that rebellion. I think parents have to model what it looks like to resolve conflict and to admit they're wrong and ask for forgiveness. And Barbara did this one Thanksgiving with our family, Janet, that was a memorable event that each of our kids remember.
And because it's not just teaching our children to, as you mentioned earlier, Janet, to have proper behavior, but parents also have to model for them what it looks like to be a believer, what mm-hmm. it looks like to walk with Christ. And that doesn't just mean going to church and carrying your Bible and sitting there Sunday after Sunday. It means modeling a relationship with Christ in front of your kids so that they see what it looks like. And so what Dennis is referring to is, as we raised our kids, we asked for forgiveness every time we made a mistake. We were constantly, sometimes I felt like I asked my kids to forgive me multiple times every day, because we wanted them to know what it was like to confess that they had made a mistake. When you can't admit that you've made a mistake of any kind, then your kid has got a pride problem, or you as a parent have a pride problem. But we also, I should say, wanted my kids to know that it wasn't just the little mistakes that I made throughout the day, that I had a heart problem, that I had a sin issue in my life that I needed God's forgiveness for. And so one Thanksgiving, I apologized to my children for being a sinner, that I needed God's grace, that I needed His redemption. I wanted them to know that I knew that I was broken and in need of a Savior. And so therefore, I wanted them to know that they also have a broken heart who needs to be redeemed as well.
Huh. That's wise, wise counsel. Is it just me or is this hour flying by? Dennis and Barbara Rainey are with us, co-founders of Family Life. Dennis, host of Family Life Today. And they join us because their newest book is called The Art of Parenting. All that is linked on my website at inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. More right after this.
Thank God for kids.
Friends, this is Janet Parshall, and I want to take a moment to remind you that today's program is pre-recorded, so our phone lines aren't open. But I sure do appreciate your spending the hour with us. And thanks so much, and enjoy the rest of the program. Ministry is never a solo effort. You know my voice because I'm on the radio every day. Look a little further and you'd see right into the homes of listeners just like you. Parshall Partners, who give a monthly gift and make this ministry available. Become a member of the team today by becoming a Parshall Partner. Call 877-JANET-58 or go online to inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. Stop and think about it. The fact that the Lord puts these irreplaceable treasures in our lives and then says parent them, it's overwhelming. And I will tell you my second thought after the one of absolute awe and reverence and astonishment is a grateful heart that says, thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave me in the dark, that you gave me the illuminating power of your word so that I would know how to parent. And I'm so grateful for that. What an encouragement. You know, as much as I love my kids, I discovered early on that I could not out-love God when it came to my kids, that he would always love them more, love them first, will love them forever, and that was a great comfort to me. Dennis and Barbara Rainey are with us, co-founders of Family Life. Dennis, of course, host of Family Life Today, and they join us because we are talking about this wonderful, challenging, on-the-job experience known as the art of parenting. And I love that Dennis said, basically, it's time for us to start looking at four key categories when we're parenting: relationships, character, identity, and mission. And in their book, The Art of Parenting, they walk us through eight parenting truths, which are powerful, profound, and I hope will sweep away some of the clutter and offer some real clarity as you and I look well to the ways of our household. Dennis and Barbara, we said earlier that there are no perfect families, and there certainly are no perfect parents. And here's where a lot of people struggle, and that is the old adage that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree is absolutely true. And boy, I remember early on in my parenting, I went, oh, I sound just like my mom. And I love the good parts. The bad parts I wasn't so happy with. So teach me. I want to break the cycle of things that weren't necessarily done right. It took me to grow up a little bit and the Lord to realize, you know what? They were imperfect, just like I'm imperfect. And you love and you trust them. And I'm so thankful for books like The Blessing that say, you know, if it wasn't perfect, just God will fill in the blanks and you can move forward. So what happens when some of that stuff, that baggage that we all have, we're all broken, we bring into parenting and we're afraid it's going to get in the way of being the kind of parent God wants us to be?
It's really sad, isn't it, when you look at your kids and you go, they're behaving just like I do.
Yes.
Just really, it's really sad. And what I'm going to say here, this is going to sound counterintuitive to what you ought to do, but I want to encourage our listeners in answering your question and addressing it in their lives to look back before they look forward. And I want to encourage them to look at the Ten Commandments and specifically to go to the Fifth Commandment. It's the first commandment that has a promise. Mm-hmm. Honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you. You may live a long life in the land the Lord your God gives you. I think the Fifth Commandment is the healing commandment in the Ten Commandments for parents to deal with their bitterness, their anger about how their parents failed them, and to return home with honor rather than blame. And I wrote a practical book called The Tribute, where I call people to write a tribute to their parents. And instead of giving them a dustbuster or a pair of house shoes or a tie or more junk and stuff that's not going to matter, instead, put your heart, splash it on a piece of paper, and write a tribute that you take home at Christmas, that you take home on an anniversary, on their birthday, or for no reason, and read it to them off of this framed tribute and honor them. Weigh them down with honor. And some of your listeners are going, you don't know where exactly. I came from.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm.
And I understand some of that. I've heard so many stories that, to me, I just can't imagine such evil perpetrated upon children. But you know, that fifth commandment calls us out of ourselves and calls us to look toward heaven and to go home and to honor our parents. Barbara did this with her parents, and it proved to be a healing moment in her relationship with them.
And the reason it's so important for parents who are raising children today to honor their parents is it releases you from mm-hmm. feeling like you have to change everything, or that you're releases you from the fear of feeling like you're repeating what your parents did that you don't like. What it does is it brings you to the foot of the cross. It brings you to Christ, and He says, I can forgive this. I can heal this. I can bring restoration. And marriage is is a restoring institution, and so is the family. And God wants to do that. He wants to bring redemption to every area of our life. And a lot of times when we have our kids and we start raising our kids, then we see what God wants to do in us. And often yeah. God wants to do heart work in us before or in alongside the heart work He wants to do in our kids. And so learning to honor your parents is a great way to begin to train your children rightly before the Lord.
You used a phrase, Barbara, and I want to pick up on it, because it's something that you and Dennis say throughout the book, that parenting is, and you'd think my next word would be hard work, and that's true, but you say mm-hmm. really it's heart work. Talk to me about that.
Well, it's heart work because we are really tasked by the Lord with bringing our children to Him and transforming their hearts so that He can transform their hearts, obviously, because we can't. But what we get so caught up in, what I got caught up in, Dennis and I both did, is we try to change our kids' behavior because that's quicker, it's easier, it's something that we can instruct them on, but it takes a lot more time and a lot more energy to pull your kid aside, to sit down and have a conversation about what it means to change your heart, because it's all about teaching your children that their heart needs to belong to God. It's not your heart, it's theirs, and they need to give their heart to God, just like we have done that. And once we take our kids' hands and we take them to the Father, we take them to the foot of the cross, and teach our children that they must give their hearts to Christ, then He can begin working that transformation work in their lives. We can't transform our kids. We can't redeem our kids. We can't make them love God. Only God can draw them to Himself. And so, therefore, our responsibility as a parent is to nurture our children's hearts and to introduce them to God so that He can then change their hearts and make them what He created them to be.
Janet, can I give you an illustration of this?
Please, please.
I was leaving for a trip, and my daughter, I believe, was what, Barbara? Ashley was
7 or 8 years
uh-huh. old. She followed me out to the car. This is back when we had a garage that the car would fit into to the garage. and she followed me out there, and I was trying to leave to go catch a plane to go speak at a conference, and she put her hand on my hand, on my arm, as it was leaning out the car, and she said, Daddy, don't go. And I said, why, Princess? She said, I'm afraid the plane's going to crash.
Mm.
And what had happened is that past summer, we'd been in our car coming back on vacation, and there had been a crash at Dallas-Fort Worth. A Delta plane had crashed, and there had been fire, and the sirens were going off, and the kids heard all this. And she was reliving that now as her dad was about to go get on one of those planes. And so I began to explain to Ashley. I said, Ashley, those engines are overhauled. They're engineered. They have maintenance and far more than any car. And I could see this wasn't getting through, Jen. This was not. This
was not computing.
This was not what her heart needed. And I took Ashley's hand in mine and I said, Ashley, it's as though there are all these cords coming from your heart to my heart and your mom's heart. And what you've got to do, Ashley, and what I've got to do as your parent, is unplug those cords one at a time. And I reached over and unplugged one of those imaginary cords. Mm-hmm. And I reached above her head and I said, "I'll help you plug into God, because I'm not going to be in your bedroom when I drive off. Only there's only one who can be there that you can have a face-to-face encounter with, Jesus Christ." And so I reached above her head, plugged into God, and she reached up, unplugged it, and plugged it back into me. And she said, "I don't wanna."
Oh.
"I don't wanna."
Oh.
And so I said, "But you gotta." And I took her hand in mine and unplugged it again and reached up above her head. And so I prayed with her. And, you know, that really is a picture, I think, of what we've got to do mm-hmm. with our children. I think, Janet, and this is one of my hobby horses as a grandfather, I think there's a reason why we're seeing so many young people leave the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's because of legal divorce, although there's an impact certainly that occurs in children's lives because of that. I think it's because children see a divorce in their parents' spiritual walk at church and what they see them doing in their home. They're two different realities. And so the children are saying, "Do I want what he has at church? Maybe, but what difference does it make here? He never admits a mistake. She never admits she's at fault." And so I think we are the models. We are the mm-hmm. first taste of the heart of God. And what we have to do is train our children to know how to deal with failure. How to deal with when we do sin and as we disappoint other people, and help them to know what to do with their sin and their disappointment as well.
So much bigger and broader and deeper and wider than just behavior modification. I was thinking in that example, Dennis, when you were talking about your time with your daughter, you really touched on relationship, you touched on character, you touched on her identity, and you perhaps planted a mission. Something bigger. Let me take a break and come right back. The book is called The Art of Parenting. Dennis and Barbara Rainey have authored it. More after this.
We will serve the Lord, committing to each other by His word and from our hearts. We will be a family in a house that will be a home, and with faith we'll build it strong. We'll build a household of faith that together we can make. And when the strong winds blow, it won't fall down. As one in Him will grow, and the whole world will know. We are a household of faith.
We are visiting with Dennis and Barbara Rainey, co-founders of Family Life. Dennis, of course, hosts Family Life Today on stations all across the country, and they host conferences around the world, weekends to remember, to help couples really and truly understand the preciousness of that relationship. And together they have written more than 50 books, including Moments Together for Couples, but they've also written, and this is the book we're talking about today, The Art of Parenting. And they take a look at 8 very key points, but boy, there have been so many takeaways so far, and yet there's also much more in the book. So let me go to this part that Steve Green was just singing about. Barbara, if I may, let me start with you, because one of the things that you talk about is that we are in truth this side of glory, and we've been told in His word that we will have tribulation, not if, but when it trials come, when these fire trials come. Mm-hmm. And we're straddled between two places. We want this perfection that we know that we have in Him. That will happen once we're home with Him forever. And yet we've got the chaos and the confusion that reigns in this life right now. So Steve Green was singing about when those winds come. So talk to me about parenting, because you know, you stake those vows for better or worse. Sometimes it's more worse than it is better. Parenting, the same thing as well. There's going to be some really rough moments, highs and lows. Kids, by the way, who could be raised in a wonderful, vibrant Christian home and yet still choose to walk away. So talk to me about the fact that there is not going to be perfection. And when those winds howl, what our response has to be as a mom and a dad.
Well, that's a great question. It's a question that I could probably talk about for hours, which we don't have. So, because we've faced a lot of difficult things in our journey, both in our marriage, but also with our kids and parenting. But I think the bottom line is that it all boils down to where do we place our hope? My hope was, at times, my hope was in my children. I will confess that I did that too. But so often God would remind me, you're placing your hope in your children. You're placing your hope in your ability to parent them well. Where should your hope be? And I think as a parent, God is always asking us that question. Who are you hoping in? And God reminded me over and over again in so many situations as a mom, as a parent, that I was placing my hope in the wrong thing. But when my hope is in Him, when I'm trusting Him, then I can step back and allow Him to work not only in my life, but in the life of my child, in the life of our family. And then we can have peace, because when your hope is in Christ and you know your security is in Him, we know that nothing comes into our lives that hasn't first gone through His fingers, that He hasn't first granted permission to enter our world. And so when I'm hoping in God, then I can trust Him. And when I'm hoping in myself, then I get panicky and frantic, and I feel like it's all on my back. So to me, the answer to the question of how do you handle the hard things that come, and the hard things will come, you're absolutely right. The answer to how you do that is by putting your hope in Christ.
And Janet, I've got my Bible open to Psalm 127, which is the famous psalm that says children are a blessing, they're a reward. And that they are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. The picture there is children are going to be in the midst of battle, and there's going to be some nicks, some hits, and some casualties in the battle. And in my Bible, Janet, are two footprints
on top of that verse.
On top of that verse, and it's our granddaughter Molly, who lived 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a reminder that some of us are given 70 years for a legacy. Others are given 7 days. And the family is the safe place where that can happen. And, you know, it's not a matter of people being, what we've talked about, being perfect. It's a matter of people not quitting and not giving up on God. Because life is tough. It is really tough.
Yes, absolutely. Let me ask you, and I know that this speaks to so many people who are listening right now. They're saying, well, my kids are grown. They're out of the house. In fact, I feel like I've hung up my shoes as far as parenting is concerned. One of the points you make, and I'm so glad you did, and I praise God for a wise mother whose words to me were, you are a parent until the day they put you in the ground. And I've never forgotten that, because I thought, wow, it's just, I can't spank them. I can't send them to the room. I can't do a timeout. I can't ground them. I can't withhold their allowance. But boy, if I look at those four things that you talked about earlier, Dennis, relationships, character, identity, mission, I don't care if my kids are 24 or 44, I still can do something to speak into those four areas of their life, it seems to me.
I had a conversation with one of my adult children on the way into the studio to talk to you today by phone. And this child is facing some real challenges. Instant. They just occurred. Boom. And they're there. And, you know, this child just needed a daddy, just a daddy who would listen. And I asked at the end of the time, how can I pray for you? And he told me three ways. And, you know, Janet, we never stop being a parent. And for the daddies here listening, if you don't remember the last time you kissed your son on the cheek, do it the next time you see him. Give him a hug, a big burly bear hug, and kiss him on the cheek and look him in the eyes and tell him you love him. The same way with your daughters. I think life is too short, Janet. We get lost in the details, and we forget about the big picture of how we as parents are expressing the heart of God for a generation that is going to take our place.
Oh. want a note to end this on, Dennis. That, I'm telling you, that's one of the fastest hours I've ever done in radio. I'm doing so much introspection and inventory as you're talking as well. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the recalibration of helping us understand it isn't just their behavior. Yes, that might be a residual, but it's about their relationship with God. It's about building character in their lives. It's about helping them see themselves as God sees them and planting in them a mission to serve Him. Thank you so much for the book. It's called The Art of Parenting. You can learn more at our website. Thank you, friends. We'll see you next time.